In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we know from the services of the Church, from the prayers of the Church, God is unapproachable in essence. According to the teaching of St. Gregory Palamas, we heard a little bit about it yesterday. The essence of God is unapproachable, the energy of God is communicable. When God became man, he hid his divinity in man. And people did not recognize. Only the elect few started to realize who this man was. But that which is of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is of the spirit is of the spirit. And so the Jewish people of the time were awaiting their earthly king. They did not understand the spirit of the law. They only read the letter of the law and could not really understand what was behind the words. So they were expecting a king of Israel, literally. They were ethnophilists. They put their nation above the heavenly Jerusalem. And our Savior came to fix all that, to fix that which was distorted, which had become distorted from the devil. As we know, God is the creator of all things, but he did not create evil. Evil is a creation of the devil, or rather, a distortion of the devil. For the devil tries to take everything that is good and distorts it. And that's why, oftentimes, people have distorted minds, distorted ways of thinking. On the Holy Sabbath, the day before Pascha, we heard this is the blessed Sabbath, wherein we take our rest. We are called to take rest because only in God can we find rest. Why is it that people have thoughts? Why do your thoughts trouble you? We heard today. Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Why do those thoughts take away from us our peace? Only in Christ can we actually find true peace. And our thoughts can try to convince us otherwise. We can try to find peace, happiness, every type of joy in this life, but we're never going to find the joy that remains unto the ages. For the joys of this life are very temporary. We can be happy about certain things, and we should be happy about certain things, but we should have our focus on those things which are greater. So we heard, "Awake, O thou sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine on thee." So today we hear concerning our Savior who appeared in another form, in a teramorphi. As we said, God hid his divinity in himself, and it was not recognized. But here, literally, he was not recognized by two of his disciples, Luke and Cleopas, who were walking towards Emmaus. And on their way to Emmaus, the stranger comes. Remember on Holy Saturday, Holy Friday night, we chanted, "Give me the stranger." The creator of all things appears as a stranger, appears in another form, the unapproachable God, the creator of all things. Imagine the humility. Just think of the humility of the one who deserves all praise, all worship, humbling himself to the form of a servant. But not only humbling himself to the form of a servant, humbling himself to death. It's beyond our comprehension. And we have a hard time just doing small little humble tasks. If we want to be Christians, we have to humble ourselves to discover the greatness of the majesty of God. You will never find peace if you don't humble yourself. The old man, Adam, and his sins will try to convince you that you don't want to give up your will. You don't want to give up your pride. You have your dignity. Fooey on the dignity. Our dignity is in Christ. Man has dignity. But don't fool yourselves into having some type of a dignity without Christ. It will never happen. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We are blessed. aware of the most blessed of his creation. We said, according to the fathers, that we find in the book of Genesis that God said, let there be light, let there be waters, let there be the firmament of the earth, all the let there be's. But when he created man, he said, let us make man in our image. He did not say that about the angels. So we have a dignity, a great dignity, if we are united to our Lord. But he needs to be recognized. So how do we recognize him? We recognize him first in his humility. Then we start scratching the surface. As they're walking, our Lord approaches them. Remember, our Lord is always trying to approach us. He's always trying to find means to bring us to himself. He approaches the sinners. It's always amazing we remember the Samaritan woman. How it was that in his providence, he approached her. Saint Fotini, who approached him. Give me water. It was an occasion, once again, to utilize those worldly things, the creation, and make them spiritual. He took the image of water, and he talked about the water of life, which streams forth abundance, in abundance. What manner of communication do you have, he says. Why you look so downcast? What's going on with you? And Luke and Cleopas ask him, are you a stranger in these parts? Do you not know of Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty indeed in word? You see how they mention deed first, because actions always speak louder than words. And our Lord showed us indeed that this is the great God, the O Anipirifanos Theos, the unconceited God, as St. Simeon theologian calls him. So they, not knowing who he is, think he's ignorant. Remember how we talk about the distortion of the mind and pride, and people think that they know better, and they don't even know what they're talking about. They had no idea who they were talking to, because our Lord appeared to them in another form. Their eyes were holden, and they could not understand, they could not perceive, and they could not see who this person was. And as they walk, our Lord says to them, O slow of heart, O slow of heart. Their hearts were not working fast. Their hearts were not ready to recognize right away, to understand the scriptures. And so he expounded unto them concerning himself from Moses. And they walked, and they were listening to him intently. And then it was near evening. And he made as if he were to continue walking, but they had reached their destination, they reached Emmaus, and they constrained him, it says in scriptures. Stay with us, the night is far spent. They liked this person, they liked what he had to say, and they were being hospitable. And unbeknownst to them, they offered hospitality to the King of Glory, to their King, to the Lord, to the King of Israel, Jesus Christ. And he went with them. And they sat, and he broke the bread. The bread, of course, you know, is the image of Holy Communion. We see Christ in bread, but that bread becomes his body. We have bread and wine. They appear to us as bread and wine, but it's actually the body and blood of Christ. And herein is the message. Once they partook of the bread, their eyes were opened, and they understood who it was. And we see Jesus Christ also in another form. Just as they saw him in another form, we see him in another form, in bread and wine. But it's the body and blood of Christ. And when we partake of that bread, that living bread, which is the body of Christ, and that wine, which is his blood, our eyes are opened. If our hearts are burning within us. For that is what they said. After they partook of the bread and their eyes were opened, he vanished out of their sight. And then they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us along the way? For the word of God is fire. The word of God is burning in the heart, either to our condemnation, or it burns away our sins. It's a flame of love. In like manner, when we partake of the body and blood, our hearts burn within us, but they recognized that their hearts were burning within them. Their hearts were burning within them on the way, but they didn't recognize it. After partaking of the bread, they recognized it. It's like saying, because we participate in the Holy Eucharist, we understand the power of the Word of God, i.e. Holy Scriptures. How can you have Holy Scriptures without the body of Christ? In order to understand the power of God and the power of the Scriptures, we have to be members of the Church. Perhaps people with good intentions will receive something, but they won't understand what they receive. They won't have the fullness of it unless they are members of the Church. And this is the message of today's Gospel. If only we could understand what it is that we partake of when we participate in the Holy Eucharist. If you are going to participate in the Holy Eucharist simply because you feel like you have rights, you're not going to have the same benefits. If you participate in the Holy Eucharist the way that all the fathers have taught us to, the fathers who specifically say, I know I am unworthy, O Lord, to partake. The fathers who say, I have sinned more than the harlot. The fathers who say, I am unworthy, O Lord, that thou shouldst come under the roof of the house of my soul. These are our fathers because they understood those things and they participated in the Eucharist. They understood what they were doing. Their hearts were burning within them. They recognized the power of God. They knew the Son of God. They are our examples. We are not like them. But that's not an excuse. We need to be like them. So every time we participate in the Holy Eucharist, we have to humble our hearts. Do we understand what humility is? It's very difficult for people to understand it if they're going to persist in evil. Persist, if they will persist in their pride. Once again, we reiterate, only in Christ will you find freedom. The obedience which we display in monasticism, for the worldly can be viewed as some type of slavery. But for those who experience the obedience and are doing what Jesus Christ did by being obedient to his Father, will recognize freedom. And they will be free, and they will rejoice in that freedom. Herein is the mystery of what we find in all that saving dispensation which our Lord did for us, and does for us, and continues to do for us. That which is of the flesh is fleshly. That which is of the spirit is spiritual, God is spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. As I've said many times, we cannot recreate God according to our own fallen image and likeness. We have to conform to Him. He made us a certain way. And we want to go back to the Archeon Kalos, to our ancient beauty. And this is what we are praying for. At the end of the epistle reading today, we heard the Holy Apostle tell the people who are eagerly listening, repent and be baptized. The period of Great Lent was a period of repentance, but now here we are on Bright Tuesday and we still hear the word repent. But we have found forgiveness, for forgiveness comes forth from the tomb of Christ on the Feast of the Holy Resurrection. Let us all pray that our Lord open our eyes. So often during this past period of Great Lent, I made mention of eyes to see and ears to hear, and we're still hearing the imagery. And today, again, we hear concerning the apostles whose eyes were opened at the breaking of the bread. May our Lord deem us worthy to participate in the Holy Eucharist. Blessed are we, members of His Holy Church, who have the opportunity to participate in the Holy Eucharist. May He deem us worthy to participate in the Holy Eucharist with humility, as the Holy Fathers have taught us. By their holy example, who taught by deed and word, who were mighty. And in this way we will find illumination, we will find freedom, for our Lord was obedient, even unto death, and specifically the death of the cross. But let us not fear, for behold, through the cross, joy has come to the whole world. May the joy of the resurrection remain in our hearts, and may our hearts be burning within us and pierced with love for our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory unto the ages. Amen.